Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock God Rick Maxa.
Welcome back, hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Maxa. Having a great show, man. I'm learning a lot, and I hope you are too, with Captain J.J. Gerritsen. He's a commercial albacore fisherman, former San Diego Sport Fishing Fleet guy, and just fun to talk to.
Yeah, man, we're having a great time and tons of great info and great stories. Like I said, we want you to be a part of the show. It's couldn't do it without our great listeners, and we would love to have you be a part of the show. If you want to talk to JJ, tell Fish Store, we want to hear from you this morning. Two ways you can reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup. First is with that local line. It's 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. That's the local number. Or try us toll-free. That toll-free number, 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. And not only are we talking all this great fishing, again, a great prize for one lucky caller at the end of the show today. Half-day fishing for two aboard the Daily Double out of Point Loma Sport Fishing. Again, you get to go fishing with Fred and the guys down there on the Double and have yourself some great time catching some good fish.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Time for the catch report today.
You got it. Today is sponsored in part by the Sato Crimp and Winder Company, where they only make products that work. Hey, if you want to end connection failures, you need to get that Sato Crimp Kit. It's a must-have piece of gear for your next fishing trip. It'll help you catch anything from school-sized tuna to record-sized tuna with the all-brass crimps and other features. It's better than ever. I know it's the favorite connection method on the Royal Star, the Royal Polaris, the American Angler, and most of the other top boats. If you haven't already, you should make your preferred connection for Spectra to Mono or Fluorocarbon. You can get it at selected tackle stores like the Longfin, Fisherman's Landing Tackle, or at SatoCrimpAndWinder.com. And we're going to start off our catch report today with the man, our FishDope.com reporter, our private motor buddy, Captain Mark Wish, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky. Good morning, Pete. Good morning, JJ.
Hey, Mark.
Long time no talk to you, buddy.
I know it has been. I think the last time I talked to you was on this show last year.
Probably so, but hey, I'm telling you what, man. I'm just loving listening to this show and all this good information. This fascinating stuff. But hey, guys, while we're still waiting for JJ to chase some of those albies down our way here, we still got, in the interim here, no shortage of good action, man. The biggest news has to be what's going on out there on the Cortez. That bluefin fishing is just crazy good. It sounds like a little bit more fish have showed up, a little bit better grade of fish has showed up, you know, and it is light line, small hook fish, and that bigger fish is making it challenging. But man, it's good angling, and now there's a little bit more yellowtail in the mix and some of them giant bonita. I mean, it's just unbelievable for any time of year, but February all the more so. It's just crazy, and it's good weather out there. So you should book a trip and get on out there. Closer in, no report this week at all from Kameni or Santa Barbara Island at Catalina. Still good water, although it cooled off just a little bit, but loaded with red crabs right now. Those crabs are just absolutely inundating the whole coast here everywhere, which is good news. And it's got them bigger calico bass. You know, they're usually kind of sleeping at this time of year, but they're all fired up chasing those crabs around, and guess what's working best there? Guys fishing the plastic, especially something with some red in it, is really doing a number on those big calico bass there. Along the coast, it's those yellowtails that continue to amaze right here off Long Beach, my backyard. Big volume of fish scattered around. You know, those fish are kind of bird school fish off the lower end of Palos Verdes here this past week, and then scattered across the west end of the Horseshoe down to outside the 105 on the east end, and then up to the deeper water on the 150 proper, and then even deeper still out there on Southeast Bag. It's a big area of fish. I mean, it's not all balled up. It's not like wide open fishing, but man, you got on the right bunch. There's some good schools around, and it's that beautiful grade of fish. The bird school fish, you know, it's biting that Tatty 45 and or Sala 7X, and the yo-yo fish, like always there, Tatty 9 or Tatty 40s. A couple of my favorites there are even the mega baits and Colt snipers. That stuff's working. We caught a nice one Sunday on a little small jig with a strip of squid bouncing along the bottom fishing bass. So there's a lot of fish in this area right now, guys. And I just got a text from one of my buddies out there on the 150 right now. 62 blue, current still pushing uphill a little bit. He's out there waiting for the bite, and you guys should be out there with him. That's good.
I love it, man. You got to love it. And I'll tell you what, fishdope.com. Danny is so on it because of guys like Mark Wish and others that report to him. He's got that information up there on that coastal yellowtail, the bass, the Catalina information, San Clemente Island. No matter where you are, and if you want a fishdope.com membership, you got to have it if you're going fishing, just to keep in touch with what's going on. You save $20 on a new membership by using the code HOOKUP1090. It's all lowercase, no space. HOOKUP1090 is the code. And how do we find you, Mark?
Pete, our store's on the corner of Bolsa, Cheek, and Edinger in Huntington Beach. Phone number is 714-840-4262. The website, PacificEdgeTackle.com. And either come in the store or look on the website. You can get a copy of my book, Between 2 and 20 Fathoms, teach you exactly how to fish that area that I was just talking about, that 150 and horseshoe and all that stuff. So.
Nice. There you go. All right, Mark, good stuff, and we'll talk to you next week.
We got it, man.
Take care, Mark.
We're still yet to be talking about rockfish and perch and lobsters. Man, it's just crazy.
What's that?
It's been a long time since there's been a sculpin report from Mark Wish.
Oh, thank God.
All right, Mark. Talk to you next Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see you, Pete. Bye.
Let's head on to another spot where they've been biting real good this year, and let's go down to C4 Sport Fishing over in Mission Bay. Talk to our good buddy Marcos. Marcos, what's going on at C4?
Well, a nice continuation of what we saw last week, the half-day trip. C4's going out there and catching yellowtail. And it's a little up and down. There's going to be some days where they catch three or four. They're going to have, like, Tuesday afternoon, they had 54. Wednesday morning, they had 60. Most of those trips are going to be in the low double digits there, but you're going to have those really good trips mixed in there also. And like I said, it's kind of what we've been seeing for a few weeks now. Very good fishing on the half day there.
That's half day. Again, I mean, I just want to make sure that we're all listening to that. That you're talking about 60 yellows on the half day.
In February,
right.
Yeah. So you're going to get a shot at those fish. I mean, you're not necessarily going to get it, but I mean, what more could you ask for and at this point of the season? You know, a shot of yellowtail and some good size ones in there, too. They're not, you know, 5-10 pounders. There's some 15 to 30 pound fish in there. So definitely have some heavy irons with you, heavy yo-yo jigs, or be ready to fish a heavy dropper loop there. And they've had some great fishing, and it's nice weather. You can go out there, and even if you don't catch fish, you get a shot at some yellowtail, enjoy the weather, have a nice ride on the boat, and you know, and then laugh at the people back east that are having really bad weather. So, I mean, what more could you ask for there? The overnight trips, or excuse me, the day-and-a-half trips, still going out there. Those trips fishing the Tanner Corner, Tez Bank, seeing a lot of bluefin. Again, we're talking February here, seeing bluefin, yellowtail, a little bit of other stuff mixed in there on those day-and-a-half trips. And they're still out there fishing. We're going to keep fishing there. I mean, like I said, it might be the season that never ends. Let's keep go right into next season. We had 5 day-and-a-half boats go out last night. I don't think I've ever seen the parking lot this full in February. It's really kind of fun to see that there. And we have Dan Hafter scheduled all next week. Have a trip leaving every day. So check the website, seaforthlanding.com. Have our half-day schedule up there if you want to take a little short trip out there, get a shot at some yellowtail. If you want to go out there, look for some bluefin, some yellowtail, have Dan Hafter trips, like I said, leaving every week. You can make reservations online. You can call the office, 619-224-3383, and more than happy to get you guys out there fishing.
All right, Marco, certainly some great fishing going on. Appreciate a very complete report, as always. And, man, good yellow, good bluefin. It's just like summertime. Appreciate a great report. And we've been talking about it, you know, last few times, how important it is for a guy to get his info down. And a few weeks ago we said it's so important so you can get a reservation down so the boat knows they have enough people to get out. Well, we flip-flop. Now it's important to get a reservation in because the boats are getting full. So you got to get your spot in now because it's going to be full if you don't.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right, Marco, great Marcos. Report. We'll talk to you next week.
And talk to you then.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our Catch Report today, sponsored in part by Jobsite Supply, specializing in mechanical, electrical, and plumbing trades with lines like Milwaukee Electric Tools. We personally know these guys and have definitely fished with them, too.
Great guys.
Yeah, and they're
really
no question.
Good people.
They're hardcore anglers. They're very serious when it comes to dependable job site delivery and the very best in Milwaukee tools. If you want for information on Jobsite Supply, check out their website. It's jobsitesupplyco.com for more details.
Yeah, make sure you check that out. Jobsitesupplyco.com for more details on Jobsite Supply. All right. Hey, here is our buddy Jim Holden on the line from Friends of Rollo. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, what do you say, Pete? How you doing?
Doing great. Hey, after last week, that great Friends of Rollo, 100,000 kid, lots of great press, and what a day. That was fantastic. And the kids
wasn't that fantastic? And you know what was really cool? Council member Scott Sherman and Mayor Kevin Faulkner, giving a proclamation to Frank, you know, acknowledging this milestone, and the mayor declaring January 31st as official Friends of Rollo Day. How cool was that?
Yeah, so that next January 31st, it's going to be a big celebration, Friends of Rollo Day.
That's right. We go.
All right, Jim. Now you're back on something else now. You're at the Poway Youth Derby at the Captain Ron, right?
That's it. With Captain Ron, this is his 20th year doing this. The lake is just lined with kids. They stocked it with trout. And I'm telling you, I've seen some great catches so far. And got a cool team out here. You got the Lakeside Optimist providing the rods and reels, Joe LaMonaco and Mike. You got the Bloody Decks crew with Alex, Wayne, and Tom. Got Lori with Turner's Outdoorsmen, Bob Cox with the San Diego Rod and Reel Club. So, man, they're out here in force supporting these kids, and it's a great day.
Wow. Lori is out there, too, from Turner's in San Marcos, huh?
Yeah. Oh, they were just walking through with a whole bunch of boxes of stuff to give out to the kids. And, it's going to be a great day.
What a cool deal. And, of course, Friends of Rollo is a big supporter of that event because it is taking kids fishing, right?
That's it. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And speaking of which, really gearing up for the big Fred Hall Long Beach and Del Mar event. And you need help for Friends of Rollo, right?
I do. Where we need some help would be both in Long Beach and Del Mar. I need some cheerful volunteers to step up and help us, go short shifts, like five-hour shifts, to sell raffle tickets at the booth.
Yeah, that money goes to taking kids fishing. And the giant raffle is huge this year. Every prize is going to be given away. Have you tallied up the dollar amount of those prizes yet?
Oh, there's over $50,000.
$50,000 for 10, 10 for so for a $10 ticket to take kids fishing, you could win what?
Oh, you can win a trip to Hawaii to go 4 day, four nights, including airfare for four people to go fishing on the Maui Jim Sports Fisher.
Jeez.
A 2 day fishing trip. 15 days on the Royal Polaris, trips on the Maximus, a Cushman scooter, $5,000 in jewelry. I mean, a ton of really cool gifts.
Yeah, all taking kids fishing, and you need help. So if somebody wants to help you at either Long Beach Fred Hall Show or Del Mar Fred Hall Show, how would we get a hold of you and volunteer our efforts?
Okay, you can get a hold of me two ways, either by email at jim@rollokids.org, rollokids.org, jim@rollokids.org, or give me a call. You can reach me on my cell at 949-285-8819.
Very good. All right, Jim Holden, Director of Friends of Rollo. Good luck out there at the Poway Youth Derby, and catch a lot of fish.
All right.
Give our best to Captain Ron, too. Glad he's recovering from his hips. He's out there in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it can happen.
He's doing it.
That's awesome. Well, hey, let's jump right back into the phones. I know they're getting packed up. Why don't we this time we talk to Paul, who's calling us from Temecula this morning. Paul, good morning. Thanks again for joining us here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
AJ. I have a question as far as the I've been listening for a while, and I know that tsunami occurred in Japan. And I was wondering whether or not the fish have been influenced as far as picking up any things that we wouldn't want to be eating. Is that regulated? Are there fish being tested? And then I also wanted to ask about the migration patterns of the yellowfin versus the albacore.
The fish have been tested, and they do get tested. And not one single iota of a hint of anything that we wouldn't want in our fish. Yeah.
What about all this talk that, the tuna and certain species are full of mercury and all
horrible
that kind of
propaganda
stuff.
I mean you see it online and you see people put pictures of this is some sort of aerial infrared photograph of some sort of
nuclear fallout
and it's all a farce. I don't know who, where it starts, but it don't pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
It's a farce.
It's total farce.
And there were people coming down to the boats, checking them with Geiger counters, checking the boats, checking the fish holes, checking the...
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, and nobody ever found one. Not one thing.
Nothing.
Zero. Yeah. And as far as yellowfin and albacore, yellowfin are a subtropical species. They're in warm waters. They're all over the equator and they come up in our warm waters, obviously, but albacore stick to the cooler the cooler.
Like, what's the perfect temperature range for albacore?
You know, we like to see the water like 63, 64.
Right.
You know, I've seen albacore in 74.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen them in 56.
Yeah.
So, you know, they range, they have a broad range. And you know what's interesting is when you're fishing tuna, say albacore, for instance, and the surface temperature's 65 degrees, you don't have to go very far down into that water column for that water to drop dramatically, you know, into the 50s. You know, only 130 feet down, you know, where you're actually seeing fathometer marks, the water's way colder. So, you know, there's a fairly broad range and all of the, you know, surface species.
And albacore are deep divers. They go very deep and very long, right?
They do.
Yeah.
Yep. And who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Like that, like Don said earlier, it's like, I have no idea how far down they go or where they
go. How cold the water is down there.
It's got to be frigid. They've got to really go to super cold water.
Yeah.
Do you see a water temp where that tends to make them bite better or the opposite? You know, it's like, well, we see them in water as cold as this, but they really don't start biting until it's that kind of thing.
You know, a lot of times we as fishermen, we get kind of falsely lulled into always looking for the warmest water.
Right.
You know? I mean, and it happens. Sure, happens to me and you and everybody. You know, we're driving around looking for the warmest water. It's not always the best water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not.
Maybe and the so cold side.
And the water temperature is an important factor, but there can be other factors that are even more important than the actual temperature of the surface of the water.
Such as?
You know, salinity and plankton and, you know, what kind of bait life is around. And, you know, there are a lot of factors.
Right. Can you... Oh, often you're out fishing and you smell it, especially like with albacore and stuff like that. Can you do you use that sense too?
I've smelled it. I smell fish for sure, but I've never actually been driving
they're
along
this
and
way.
Gone, oh, I smell them. They must be close.
Right here.
But no, there you certainly have those moments where you're standing on the rail and all of a sudden you definitely caught a whiff of some fish.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, here they are.
Yeah.
I got one more. Can you know, there's so much more stuff, info that's available today. Like you were saying earlier, you know, it's not just now there's water charts where you can see, but there's water charts and currents and sea surface heights, and you can see all these different. Can you technology yourself to death? I mean, does part of it
you
say
can.
You just gotta go? I mean, can you freak yourself out so much with too much info?
Totally. Totally.
Okay.
And I personally am technically challenged.
Okay.
I have a hard time checking my email. but yeah. That stuff, all that technical information that's available can be advantageous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and there are guys that are really good at it.
Okay.
And I, for one, am not, but I aspire to be. You know, I use that information for sure.
Yeah.
You know, sea surface height anomalies for
exactly.
James. you know, and salinity and currents and all those different factors that you can get. You know, 50-meter, 100-meter surface.
Right.
You know, I mean, there you can technology yourself to death. But you know what? I still like to look out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can give you an advantage though.
It can,
knowing some stuff, right?
There are for sure instances where that can definitely help.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that.
All right. How about we jump back into the phones and talk to Michael, calling us from San Diego this morning. Good morning, Michael. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to thank Rick. I was in there earlier this week, bought a Penn 2-speed, and you know, he was just super nice, not over trying to sell me something out of my price range. I thought it was pretty awesome.
Right on. Right. My pleasure, man. I hope the reel does great for you.
My question is, my friend asked me this a couple of weeks ago, and I just always do this because it's what I've been told. If you buy, you know, a 60-pound line, you set it to, you know, 25, 30-pound drag or whatever it is. So his question was, why such a small margin on the line when he has such a heavy line, and why not just market the line for the drag rating? So if it's a 60-pound line, why not just market for 20-pound drag?
Well, I think drag, you know, drag is an area of slip, and you know, one of those things where we think of line is, okay, it's 60-pound test. Well, under like a lab setting in a perfect scenario, you know, with a very slow and perfectly steady pool and the line's not wet or it is wet or whatever, it breaks at this factor. But fishing, there's so many other things that go on. You know, there's shock and the fish takes off and it changes direction and then you're in a tangle with this guy and that guy. And so I don't think it's ever going to be a constant thing. You know, more drag pressure will put the fish on the boat that much faster, but harder to hang on to, and maybe you can hold on to 25 pounds of drag, but I can only hang on to 15 pounds or it's not comfortable. So I just don't think it's ever going to be a constant thing for anybody. You know, I don't think you could make a line rating that says it should always be this, because the amount of drag that Pete fishes might be different than what JJ does and the amount that I do.
Sure. Everybody has their own deal, and you got to kind of figure
really
that out, right, JJ?
That, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's a constantly variable situation, mm-hmm. you know, if your reel is full of line while you're pulling on a fish or it's half full of line, you know, there's so many factors.
Yeah, how much line drag there is. Yeah. Line drag plays a huge mm-hmm. part of it.
Yeah, just go ahead and let your whole spool off your 30 wide out behind the boat while you're going.
Yeah.
Try and turn the head
off. That's a lesson in line drag right there.
Just line, yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Speaking of line, what's the setup when you guys are in pulling albacore up?
Totally.
Okay, give us like top to bottom. What kind of reel are you using? What kind of line are you using? What's the whole top to bottom setup?
You got to have a two-speed.
Yeah.
Well, 7 feet, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You don't want to wind that 7 feet in too fast.
Man, all right. So you know, back in the day, the cane pole, you know, the bamboo pole.
Yeah.
Now we use fiberglass.
Fiberglass.
And it's classic, too, because, you know, you want an awesome taper. You know, you want – there's various manufacturers. Taniguchi comes up with some poles and Seeker and CalStar. And, you know, there's
poles designed for lip pulling.
For albacore fish. Yeah, for lip pulling. For mm-hmm.
yeah.
pole
they're
and
not
fishing.
Like the standard blank you buy.
They're designed for pole and line fishing.
Yeah.
And they come in various lengths. And, you know, these are some of the things that I'm just learning, you know, mm-hmm. how long of a pole you want for what kind of fish, you know, what kind of bite there is and yada, yada, yada. But basically it starts out with like a 10.5 foot fiberglass pole and about a 7 foot leader. And
what's the leader?
The lead, we use 49 strand wire.
49 yeah. strand wire.
Yeah, you know, 7 strand, mm-hmm. the same kind of stuff you'd use for a Wahoo leader, you know. But we use 175 pound for our light side and 250 pound for on our heavy side.
Wow.
Okay, so somewhere in that range. And I think the majority of the time it's 175. And we use a squid. Okay, and a squid is basically the hook. Mm-hmm. And the hook is designed so that it's heavy on one side, and it's shaped like a triangle so that it releases when you slack off, all right? So a fish bites the squid, and you apply pressure, that hook takes a deep bite in the fish's jaw. And the second you release the pressure, the way the hook is designed, it's heavy on one side so that the heavy end falls and it pulls the hook free. And
no barb or anything.
There's no barb. And the hook is super thick. It's like almost as thick as your pinky.
Wow.
Yeah. You'll never ever straighten one out.
Wow. So the idea is it's one motion. So how do you get one to bite? And then what's the whole motion?
So when you get on a school, the chummer, who's got the most important job on the boat, is throwing bait to get the fish up and fired up on the corner. So
just
that
foaming.
Foaming. Oh, and you're looking in the water, you see the whole school right at your feet.
That's so rad,
it's
dude.
So exciting, right? And how could you not?
Right.
Your adrenaline just flows big time. And as soon as they start biting the squid, you figure out your own little technique mm-hmm. based on where you are in the rack, each crew member, and you slap the squid down into the water right where the chum is falling. And it's usually interesting. You kind of get bit on the sink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're heavy. The squid's heavy. And when you slap the water with the squid, you get bit instantaneously, hopefully. And then the whole object is to try to keep the fish's head up. You know, when they grab it, they're not ready for it to be suddenly yanking them out of the water.
Sure.
They're almost in a, you know, relaxed part mm-hmm. of their feeding frenzy, so they grab on. You lean back and get their head up, and then you kind of got to steer them into a spot where you're comfortable throwing them onto the boat so that you're not throwing them into yourself or into your buddy or the guy next to you or whatever.
Sure.
So you get bit, you lift up, you get their head kind of out of the water, and then you just with a total technique, you know, using your knees and all, you know, your arms and leverage to a certain specific point rather than just ripping them out of the water using your whole body. There's a little bit of a technique, you know, just like stand up fishing big tuna, flip them over into the boat. You want them just over the rail or just about shoulder height. You know, you don't want to throw them way up in the air so they get smashed on the deck when they land. And
sure.
I'm sure it's one of those things where if you see a seasoned guy that's been in the rack forever next to a new guy that's twice his size, sure. He's going to throw twice as many over
as many,
and
yeah.
sleep
yeah.
easier at the end of the day.
For sure.
Is there's there competition between your guys?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I bet there
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah. And it's fun every minute.
Yeah.
You know, when they're back there and I'm driving and I'm doing my thing, and I'm looking back, and I'm looking at the sonar, and I'm looking for schools, and I'm watching the other boats around if there are any, and I can hear those guys back there laughing and chiding at each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I just put 10 on. Yeah. You only got 2.
Yeah, you suck.
it's so much fun.
So you say you're moving. When you've got a school
moving.
And you're chumming, you're constantly moving.
Constantly moving, yeah.
Why?
You know, that's the way it's done.
Yeah.
I've asked that question
you
myself.
You can't stop. And,
when you're tuna fishing, yeah. you tend to stop and
right.
drift.
Right.
And the albacore guys, they don't stop. They slow down and they you change your speed. You're going faster sometimes, slower sometimes. The albacore inherently want to follow the boat. They want to follow the boat.
Follow the bait.
Yeah. And it's wild how they'll follow the boat.
I
watch behind the boat on the sonar. And even when they're not biting, they'll still follow the boat. And many times the school will follow the boat, you're not even chumming.
Wow.
They're just back there following the boat. They swim with the boat.
Amazing.
It's neat. And so that's how it's done. The boat's moving all the time. And what's cool about that is we can join different schools. You know, if you're in an area where there's mm-hmm. multiple schools up on top, you can get one school and you get them fired up on you. And then you start kind of walking the boat to the next school because they don't bite and bite and bite all day long. You know, you get on a fresh school, they bite for, maybe 20 minutes or a good school, an hour or a little longer. But they eventually figure it out and they back off, just like sport fishing.
Sure.
And so if we can keep the boat moving and get one school to bite for a while and they're biting, 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 and then just about this time they're starting to taper off, your bow's just about reaching the next school and it's all fired
starts
up
all over
new
again.
One again, yeah. So
wow,
yeah.
Fun.
That's so
super
rad.
Exciting.
Yeah,
super
that's great.
Fun.
All right.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming great, including a big block of your phone calls. You stay tuned. More with Captain JJ. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
For Rancho Leonero, here's John Ireland.
I'll talk to guests and I'll say, well, how was it? And they say, well, you can talk and improve the fishing. I said, sure, if I had a switch, I would, but how'd you do it? They'll say, well, we fished 3 days, and we released 2 marlin, and we caught 4 dorado and a bunch of rooster fish. The fishery is intact. Mother Nature's amazing, and fishing's good down there. Tuna showed up, big dorado, good billfish, and good striped marlin. The fish photo gallery is interesting. We do honestly make an effort to update it daily. So it gives you a real good idea of what's being caught at the ranch. Another interesting thing that we have, a real-time camera that points off of the front porch of the hotel. A lot of people come on the website just to take a peek and see what the weather's like at the ranch. RanchoLeonero.com. Anytime, I encourage you to come visit Rancho Leonero. I'm proud of it. It's my home, and I'll make sure that you have a great time. I'll personally take care of you.
It's time for our Power Pro 60-second seminar. Let's talk about February bluefin tuna on the Cortez. How's that?
You want to talk about it? You always call this the Power Pro advantage. Now, there is the advantage. All about getting a bait to swim, and that's what 15 is all about. They're not really seeing the line. It's how much better your bait can swim with that little drag in the water, and that's what Power Pro does for you. You drop down to a light Power Pro, like a 50-pound or even a 40-pound,
right.
and attach your thin fluorocarbon leader to that. Your line has so much less drag in the water than a traditional 30 or 40-pound mono that your bait is able to swim 3 times better and thus get you your bite.
There you go. And Power Pro has so many optimum advantages, too. And you look at Power Pro hollow ice. You want a very thin, very narrow presentation. What about putting a Sato crimp with hollow ace on there?
40-pound hollow ace to a little thin piece of fluorocarbon
with
a Sato crimp. No,
yeah, so
still.
Power Pro's the stuff. You want to get bit? PowerPro.com.
Here's important news from Searcher Sport Fishing. Our 2015 schedule is now available at SearcherSportFishing.com. This is Captain Art Taylor. After an outstanding 2014 season, I promise our trips will fill fast. The Searcher offers great service, awesome food, air-conditioned cabins, an RSW system to preserve your catch, and plenty of room at the rail. Call Celia at 619-226-2403. That's 619-226-2403. Or book online today at SearcherSportFishing.com.
Sport fishing, not just for dad anymore. At Dena Wharf Sport Fishing, kids fish free every Sunday. Free half-day fishing trip and clinic free for kids 12 and under every Sunday at Dena Wharf. Join the Dena Wharf Kids Club and get over $100 of really cool stuff like two free fishing trips, a free whale watch trip, and more. Dena Wharf, everyone's favorite since 1971. Click DanaWharf.com or visit them in the Dana Point Harbor, the bass capital of the West, and only minutes from the 5 Freeway in Orange County. DanaWharf.com, where kids fish free.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
All right, phones are packing up. Let's jump into it.
You got it. How about we talk to some very patient callers who have been hanging in there with us. Doug in Montebello, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Doug?
Yeah, well, it's quick for JJ. Which one was easier for you to do, run a commercial boat or run a sport fishing boat?
Well, good question, I would say the sport fishing boat.
Yeah.
It was harder. It was more difficult to just keep up with everything going on and coordinate all that had to be coordinated and, you know, make sure that you were in accordance with all the rules and regulations. And, you know, there's so much liability and stuff with people that are coming and going. And, you know, I was really fortunate. I had such a good following. You know, all of my passengers and clients became my friends because I was there for so long and they stuck with me for so long. So that part wasn't so difficult, but it was challenging keeping up with all that had to be kept up with and stay competitive.
The thing that I can't imagine being in your shoes on a sport boat was that you had a day or maybe 2 days or maybe 5 days to make a catch, period. And then then that trip was over.
Yeah, absolute time constraint all the time. Got to perform. You know, you're a hero or a zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to be a zero.
No. Right. And then you add in the business part of sport fishing, which is so hard.
It's
because
tough.
There's so many, because you not only have to be a fisherman, you got to be a businessman.
And you have to rely on so many other people, you know, so many factors beyond your control.
Right.
You know, like the bait company was the biggest one, you know, is there going to be bait for my trip or is there enough or is it good enough?
Yeah.
You know, am I going to wake up on day three of this 5-day trip and have tanks of dead bait or bait at all?
Sure.
So, you know, there was a lot of tougher factors involved in the sport fishing industry than what I'm into
both
now.
Both business and fishing wise.
Yeah.
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 So there you go. Hey, good question, Doug.
Great.
Thanks a lot for the call.
How about another patient caller been hanging with us? Kenny, calling from Hawaiian Gardens. Kenny, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, morning, guys. I have a few questions for JJ, and then I'll free up the line. First one is, I know you guys are pole fishing. Do you guys have any kind of a bycatch?
None.
Next one is, do you have anything to do with American tuna?
Well, I do fish for AFA and, you know, some of the AFA members are the owners of American Tuna. And some of our tuna goes to American Tuna, for sure. And there's no bycatch. There's nothing. I mean, we caught, I can't say that. That's wrong. We drove by some tsunami junk last year and caught 2 yellowtail on it.
Wow.
That's rad.
Yeah. But no, I mean, there's virtually, it's just albacore. There's nothing else out there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we're catching.
One you don't catch any OPA or anything like
we
that.
We caught 1 bluefin and 2 yellowtail last year.
That was the only
bycatch. And
those
were trolling.
And
those were for dinner.
A whole lot of albacore.
And they were for dinner. Yeah. Yeah. You should have seen Harry go after that bluefin.
Oh man. Yeah. And Harry is not only an amazing fisherman, he's an amazing chef, too.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys eat well.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you divide that duty up? Is there somebody who cooks, or is it just
the last two seasons we did have someone cooking.
Okay.
A designated chef. And, it makes it easier knowing that, one person's going to make sure that everybody's covered meal-wise. But, it's also nice to kind of change it up now and then, guy has specific cooking habits, and so it's nice to bring in, like Harry, for instance, who's going to, put some Japanese influence into it or something, and so, but we eat good.
Yeah,
that's a big important part of it. Yeah, I mean, everybody needs food and energy. You can't just go out there and live on some crackers and cheese for the day when you're working from sun up to sundown. And up there in the Pacific Northwest, it doesn't get dark till 10 o'clock.
Oh, sure.
It gets light early, it gets light late. Man, it's a long day.
Yeah,
food's critical.
How big is the crew?
There's six of us.
Six total.
Yeah, five or six, depending. Yeah.
And It's a single screw, single engine on the boat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How much fuel do you carry?
8,000 gallons.
8,000 gallons. How far can you go on 8,000 gallons?
A long way.
A long way. Longer than you need?
Yeah.
So what's the longest stint you've stayed out?
28 days, I think.
28 days.
Wow. Trip, yeah.
Now, the goal is the shortest time out because you want to be full, right?
5 days. Shortest trip.
That's the shortest. You're full.
Yeah. Five days.
Wow.
Yeah. So what's the average?
It depends, and the long trips are when you're jigging, because you're jigging, if you're catching 500 fish a day, that's extremely good jigging, but that's kind of a goal that you're looking for. But an extremely good day on the poles is like 2,000 fish.
Wow.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So.
In a day.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. God. 2,000. Think about that. He just said that's five or six guys.
Right.
Think about how good that is.
That's three or four guys in the rack.
Wow.
So you figure that it's about 100 fish a ton.
Okay.
All right. So that's 20 ton.
20 ton in one day. Yeah. And you're full at
45, yeah.
Wow.
45 or 50.
Wow. Okay, so you ever think you're going to be five?
Our best day was 14, a little over 14 tons.
14 tons.
Yeah. In a single day.
Yeah. And so you said 5 days was the fastest you've ever filled up. Can you beat it?
Yeah. I what you want is not to go out and make one 5-day trip. You want to go out and make four or five trips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to wear the crew out in one
shot, right?
So when we're talking fuel, 8,000 gallons of fuel, how much do you burn in a day?
100 gallons. That depends on
whether you're cruising or...
Yeah, 100 gallons is moving.
Yeah.
The boat's super slow, man.
Yeah.
We're going 7 knots top speed.
That's top speed.
Yeah.
Wide open.
It took me a long time to get used to that.
You leave San Diego. How long does it take before you're at the fishing grounds?
Well, 7 days.
7 days.
Yeah.
Just nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
All right.
Especially going to the Apollo, which was fast and all these other things.
You're on a big boat. I mean, you compare your size to some of the other guys.
The boat's
big,
it's heavy duty. Comparable. It's on the bigger side.
Yeah.
Of the fleet. You know, there's
like
a
Jack's
lot of smaller
boat's way smaller than yours, right?
Jack's boat's a little smaller. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's about 35 ton, I think.
35 tons. And maybe what 60 feet.
Yeah.
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 And how long is yours?
73 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right, 858-457-1090. You've been trying to get through. There is your chance.
Tony in Kensington, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Thanks for calling, Tony.
Yeah, hi, guys. Good morning. This is a very nostalgic program for me. I used to be part of the big San Diego albacore fleet here.
Really?
Nice.
And just remember that huge fleet. We used to go out of San Diego and just fish down in Mexico and out of the waters here.
Wow.
When there was a lot of fish here, but... your story of the northern fishery up there is very exciting to me.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, Tony, the bummer is that we can't fish in Mexico anymore.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what killed our fleet.
Yeah.
Our big market boat fleet down here. We just don't have anybody hardly left.
And it really would be awesome if we could, you know, if we could go up and fish the Pacific Northwest for a, you know, short albacore season and then go down into Mexico and fish tuna. It'd be an amazing fishery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows what holds, what's in the future. You know, maybe that's a possibility, you know, that we'd love
just
to.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of those bigger guys, you know, still down here, you know, down there by the sonar fleet that, you know, I've always talked to him when they, when they're down there at the docks. And they say, yeah, they head north, too. You know, they're pretty big boats, you know, big bait boats like yours, I think. So I feel sorry for them. You know, they're just right within reach of the tuna. But we don't have any canneries either, so that's rough.
That's another issue, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tony, it's pretty much the same deal, right, from years past. They still do it the same way you used to do it, right?
Yeah, very much, except we never would run the boat. You know, once we got the jig strike, we'd chum, of course, like JJ does, but we would just drift, you know,
right.
We just, you know, let
tuna
the wind pull the boat
down. Dead
but...
boat.
Okay,
yeah,
so different than albacore
fishing. Yeah.
I had a question for you, JJ, and I'll run. Your product, where can we find it? What's the product label?
There's the pull and line, one at a time, and you can find it at Whole Foods.
Yeah, it's American tuna, right?
And, well, there's two products.
Oh, there's two
American
products.
Tuna and there's pull and line.
Pull and line?
Okay. And the pull and line product is... There's actually about 12 boats that are contributing to the pull and line product, and there's a picture of the boat on the label, and you know it'll say caught on the Pikey by JJ Garrison, my signature
no
on the
kidding.
Camp, or whoever, yeah, and those are available at Whole Foods, and they might be in Gelson's, I'm not positive,
okay.
But you know your higher end supermarkets, Whole Foods for sure will have it, and then of course American Tuna, and it's in a variety of places. You know, a lot of local establishments have it, and it's also there.
What's
Whole
the
Foods.
Difference between the two products? Just two different manufacturers,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two different canneries.
Yeah,
yeah. But either one could contain
either
your
one.
Fish.
It can for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. An American Tuna, which is Jack, and you know there's some of the local guys here. It's their business, and they've been in business for quite some time, and their product is obviously fantastic.
Yeah.
And the pull and line is a newer product.
Newer product.
Same fishermen and everything, but more traceability.
Okay.
So
that's cool. So
yeah.
You can actually buy pull and line canned tuna that says caught on the Pikey.
Right.
So I could go buy a can of tuna that Harry might have lifted over the rail.
For sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Put that on the
great.
Wall.
Nice. Just put the name of the fisherman on it next time, huh?
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Okay.
Hey, nice to hear from you, Tony.
All right,
nice to hear
you. Thank you very much, JJ. And good luck to you.
Thanks,
there.
Tony.
All right. Very good. That's pretty cool. Some nostalgia there, Tony.
Yeah.
In the racks.
Awesome.
That's way cool.
Yeah.
That's way cool. How about next up, we talk to JC, who's calling us from Thousand Oaks this morning. JC, welcome to the show.
Hey. Good morning, Chance. Excellent show as normal.
Thank you.
Question today is probably more an answer that Rick might be able to do. I'm in a current, let's say it's a jig obsession, and I was thinking about replacing some of the hooks on my Salus's with the assist hook. I was wondering your opinion on that.
You know, I don't have an opinion as far as trying it goes, but I'm, man, with the surface iron. You're talking a surface iron or a yo-yo jig?
Yo-yo jigging.
You know, I don't see any real reason why that probably wouldn't work just fine. I mean, I certainly don't have a reason why it wouldn't work. I'm a pretty major traditional not broke, don't fix it guy, and you know, those replacing hooks is not a difficult thing to do either by yourself or just going to most tackle shops can, you know, especially if you're not in a huge hurry, you can drop a couple jigs off and have them, you know, braze new rings and new hooks on them. It's a fairly common thing. That being said, I definitely couldn't come up with a reason why it wouldn't work. You know,
yeah,
those things eat a yo-yo jig to eat it good. The hookup ratio is definitely good on butterflies and flatfalls, and those assist hooks definitely work everywhere else.
So would you put the assist hook up by where you're on the ring that you're tying the line, or would you put the assist hook down where the treble hook is?
I'd probably put it up on the top ring,
yeah.
You know, and have the hooks hanging about halfway down the jig.
Right.
I don't have an answer.
Right.
Never tried it, but you know, when you look at most all your surface irons and yo-yo jigs, all the swirls that, you know, get, you know, when a yellowtail eats a jig, they leave that kind of swirl. You know, it's not like a tooth scrape like a barracuda, right. They leave a swirl. That's always in the middle or the upper part of the lure. I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer, but I sure don't think it would hurt anything.
Sure. There you go. Try it out, JC. Let us know. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Good idea. How about Harry calling us from La Jolla up next on Let's Talk Cook Up? Harry, good morning. Good morning,
Harry.
Good morning, gentlemen. JJ, I have a question for you. You mentioned a little earlier in the show that when you went north, totally different kind of fishing operation, and you've kind of taught some of those guys maybe some of the things that you were doing down here. Did you learn anything from them up there that if you were to come back down here as a sport fisherman that you might bring technique or equipment different than what we currently are doing?
Well, you know, I'm for sure learning a lot, you know, from those guys in this industry that I had no idea what I was doing. So that part's been super humbling. But as far as bringing that technique into what we do, I would say no, because it doesn't apply. You know, the moving boat and stuff like that, the fish following the moving boat really doesn't apply to what we do, because we have so many people fishing at the same time. It just does. We can't make it work.
What about on a small boat? What if I on my 22-foot Davis, would it work on my boat?
If you were catching albacore.
Yeah.
More than likely, yeah. Yeah, Pete. You know what I mean? The thing is, you know, when you go out and you're fly lining one bait on 25-pound test, it's a totally different application. You're not trying to fling a fish on board with a 3-ounce squid and 170-pound wire leader.
Yeah.
You know,
we don't need to move.
It doesn't apply. Yeah. Right. You don't. Yeah. You don't need to move.
Why is it that when we heard from Tony that they didn't move on tuna, and you do the tuna schools you are just on you, right?
Yeah, the tuna schools tend to bite way more aggressively than albacore. Uh-huh. You get on them, stop the boat, and it's full speed, and you know
bigger schools. Generally speaking,
more aggressively biting schools. Okay. I would say, you know, you see giant schools of albacore out there, but for whatever reason, the dead boat doesn't hold them.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't hold them as long. And when they're in, you know, there's multiple schools around, you need to get to that next school and try to link this school with that school. So, you know, maybe that's the reason they have the moving boat situation.
Why don't they per se in albacore?
I think because they tend to be more spread out.
Okay.
You know, they're not concentrated in, you know, big enough concentrations to purse them. You know, you look at aerial footage of, say, a bluefin school, and there might be, you know, 150-ton school, you know, ball of fish up all in one school, whereas albacore are just little batches spread out all over the place, and I don't think it's efficient. I don't think they can get enough fish.
Do you ever find that fish gets picky enough where if you... You know, I mean, would there ever be a time when getting them one at a time would help things out? Like, you can see them and they're following you, but you can't get a bite. And you knew if you flipped out a bait on a, like you would
We've
at home.
Done that. And we did that. We did that, you know, when times were tough this year in the fall. And, you know, some guys just went home.
Okay.
You know, it was just too tough to, you know, get them on the squid.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to sit there and drift, if you were on a sport boat, you could drift all day and catch all you wanted on, you know, 40 pound. And so there was times where we did that.
Just paying for fuel and a little bit of...
We sat there and we said, you know what? We just don't feel like we're going to be driving around and catch 3 or 4 or 5 tons today. So let's just drift and we'll shut down the engine.
And catch 100.
And we'll catch 100.
Yeah.
And so we did that. And sometimes those days we caught 500.
Really?
You know, a little bite just turned on better than we expected.
Yeah.
And, you know, lo and behold, yeah. So the drift method was something that nobody was doing commercially up there. And we did it, and I got... I can't say it's, you know, a great method, but when there's nothing else going on, we definitely put fish on. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
That's rad, man.
Good questions there, Harry. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy's got himself the half-day trip for two aboard the Daily Double. More Let's Talk Cook Up coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
Here's important news from Searcher Sport Fishing. Our 2015 schedule is now available at searchersportfishing.com. This is Captain Art Taylor. After an outstanding 2014 season, I promise our trips will fill fast. The Searcher offers great service, awesome food, air-conditioned cabins, an RSW system to preserve your catch, and plenty of room at the rail. Call Celia at 619-226-2403. That's 619-226-2403. Or book online today at SearchersportFishing.com.
You've made the investment in a boat, and you know how important it is to take good care of it. That's why you need Monsoon Yacht Service. Mark and his staff specialize in taking care of your boat and making it look its best. No matter if it's on a trailer or in a slip, let Monsoon Yacht Service clean and polish your boat to make it look like new. Monsoon Yacht Service also does fiberglass and gel coat repair, custom rigging, and the best detailing you have ever seen. Be proud of your boat again with the help of Monsoon Yacht Service. 619-405-2176 or check monsoonyachtservice.com.
Alaska is one of the ultimate fishing destinations in the world. This is Rock Cod Rick, and every year the one trip I look forward to is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. My dad and I have been going for over 15 years, and I just can't wait to go again. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, the finest fishing charter captains in all of Sitka, and the ultimate value. Sure, I've been to others, but time and time again, nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. You can catch huge halibut like the ones we do almost every year, and salmon? Well, Sitka is famous for some of the best runs in Alaska. We also get plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. And listen to this, it's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except the tips. It's truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Come and join me on the Let's Talk Hookup trip in June, or just go when you can. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Hey, Seaguar fans, the wait is over for premium quality pink fluorocarbon leader material. Seaguar Pink Label is made from the same proprietary process and exclusive Seaguar resins you trust. Seaguar Pink Label is soft and supple, yet provides superior knot and tensile strength. In fact, it has 30% better knot strength than competitive floral lines. A portion of the proceeds from the sale of Pink Label will be donated to the National Breast Cancer Foundation, Inc. Get Seaguar Pink Label leader material at your favorite tackle dealer. To learn more, visit Seaguar.com.
XSRF 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Aztec.
What's that slam dunk? That's what I'm talking about.
San Diego's sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the winner of Half Day Fishing for Two aboard the Daily Double from Point Loma Sport Fishing is going to Tony in Kensington. Tony, congratulations. You're going to love fishing on the double.
On the double. Catch a yellowtail, maybe.
Yeah, it's biting,
and a lot
man.
More, huh? And then don't forget, 3 weeks, we'll be back in the rockfish mode.
That's right,
too.
Back in rockfish
mode. Yeah,
game.
So there you go. Yellowtail and rockfish right here locally. That'd be
I like
okay,
it.
Huh?
That'd be just
and then who knows what else? Maybe albacore, right? JJ, are we ever going to see albacore
heck
San
yeah.
Diego again? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it going to happen?
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't happen after I drive all the way to Washington.
Yeah. Now, but would they be up there as well as here?
More than likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd
you
be
bet
spread.
There's going to be albacore around here
yeah.
again, for sure.
It could happen this
it's
year.
It's all cyclical, absolutely.
You never know.
Yeah, look at the historical figures about, you know, El Nino type years that we've had in the past, and you'd see a big albacore season coming.
Get ready.
I want it.
Oh, yeah. Well, always a pleasure to hear from you,
awesome,
JJ. Thanks for
thanks
your
you
time.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me
sure
here.
Sure, appreciate what you do, and we're just thrilled that you're happy and making money in a new world there.
Totally.
Nice.
Yeah,
totally.
So always a pleasure. Thanks for coming.
All right,
in.
Well, thanks,
look
guys.
Forward to having you back again, and look forward to having you back again tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Captain Bob Arison, great
that's
guy.
Fun,
and
yeah.
Not only is Bob with Angler Management, is a phenomenal outboard mechanic specializing in Yamaha outboards, but Bob also runs a six-pack fleet on a Cobble 35, as well as a four-pack fleet on his Scout, the 26-foot Scout. So Bob kind of does it all.
Yeah, local
and
fishing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable mechanic.
Yep.
It's going to be a great show.
It's going to be good stuff here, 7 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, right here on the Mighty 1090. We'll see you right back here.